Greetings in the Lord. It is the fifth day of June in the year of our Lord 2020. You're listening to The Daily Sword, a daily guide to prayer and Bible reading produced by Sovereign King Church in Southern Indiana and on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. I pray this podcast is a blessing to you. Let us begin. Our call to repentance today and faith comes from Genesis chapter 25, verse 27 through 29. When the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a peaceful man living in tents. Now Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Isaac had longed for and prayed fervently for a son, and his wife became pregnant with not one, but two sons. Our Lord God is good, and He often outdoes our prayers and gives more than we are able to ask or think. While pregnant, Rebekah was in much turmoil. She sought the Lord and was told that she was carrying twins who would constantly be at odds with each other, but God had chosen the weaker to be the one through whom the promise would come. Before either Jacob or Esau were born, the Lord had chosen them for their purposes. It's in this context that we're giving the third use of the word love found in Scripture. And like the first two uses, this use is rich with meaning. But also, unlike the first two uses, the use of love in this passage is mixed. It was good for a father and mother to love their sons, but to have an inconsiderate love for your children because of what they can do for you is not praiseworthy. Notice that Isaac loved Esau because Isaac loved the food that Esau provided. Esau was easy for Isaac to love. He's the one who gets your attention. He's the manly man. And he provides a benefit to Esau. Also, as what is often apt to happen, the mother, feeling pity on the other child, loves him more. She's able to build this deeper connection to this son. And so her love for him grows, but out of a self-motivated love for how she feels pity in this connection that she's able to have. John Calvin says, "There is no bond of mutual concord more sacred than that of marriage. Children form still further links of connection, and yet they often prove the occasion of dissension. Division arose in the home because the love being issued was selfish love. Now, God is sovereign over the affairs of men, and so God even uses this occasion that we see here in this text to teach us something about God's choosing Jacob. And what we know is that it was not because of anything in him. Now, unless anyone is tempted to lay the charge of inconsiderate love to God, remember that God is creator, and he has determined the purposes of both Jacob and Esau before they were born. God has the right to do with his creation as he will. His love for Jacob was not because Jacob could prove anything to him." And so as we gather together to worship and praise the Lord, here are some applications and some points where maybe we need to repent. Number one, fathers, we're called to love our children, not primarily for what we can get from them. You know, some children are easier to love than others. Some you will seem to develop a better bond with. In some ways, this is just a part of our natural temperament. Yet the love we should have is not merely built on natural temperament, but a supernatural love that goes to the purposes of God. It's not that Isaac should not have loved Esau, he certainly should have. It's that he should have kept God's purposes in mind and loved Esau enough to obey God's decision in the matter and taught Esau to do so as well. Fathers, we ought to love our children with the purposes of God in mind, not to look down on children for their different callings or temperaments and giftings God has given them, but rather to teach them to honor Him. And so we ought to train our various children to follow God's design in their life and yet help them to stretch their boundaries. Both Esau and Jacob could have learned more from each other. They may have never had the same giftings, but a good father would have strengthened the weak areas of his children. Therefore, remember that God does not look to the successes of the world. He isn't impressed by the things the world says are important. Rather, God often chooses those who the world will not. Do you only love those whom it's easy to love? Are you always impressed by riches, wealth, and fame, or what you can get from someone? Or are you willing to love those who cannot give to you? Application for mothers is to guard against favoritism. Rebecca may have been just faithfully listening to the words of the Lord, but it is clear from the rest of the passage that she too had an undue love for her son that caused her to resent the other son while unduly babying the other. We ought not show this kind of love in our households. Fifthly, we ought to know that it's not anything in us that has caused God to lavish His love on us. If you are His elect, it's because of His good pleasure and not because you were this great catch. The doctrine of election should humble us and make us work by faith to make our calling sure. So, dear brothers, where have we sinned today? In what areas have we had inordinate love, loving people only for what they can give to us? Where have we been proud in the doctrine of election? Where have we allowed the theology, true good theology, to be used by our sinful flesh to boast as if there's something in us that would be worthy of God's election? Rather, we ought to be humble, acknowledging that we are sinners and have sinned against a great and mighty God. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from you and your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much of the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare them, O God, who confess their faults. Restore thou them that are repentant, according to your promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Brothers, examine your consciences to know whether you truly repent of your sins, and whether by trusting in God's mercy and seeking your salvation in Jesus Christ alone, you're resolved to pursue holiness and to live in peace and love with all men. Testimony in your hearts before God, then be assured that your sins are forgiven through the perfect merit of Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, open thou our lips, and our mouth shall show forth thy praise. Open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the Scriptures are read, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Listen now to this psalm reading from Psalm chapter 87. This is the Word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. A psalm of the sons of Korah, a song. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all other dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God, Selah. I shall mention Rahab and Babylon among those who know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This one was born there. But of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will count when he registers the peoples. This one was born there, Selah. Then those who sing as well as those who play the flutes shall say, all my springs of joy are in you. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. Glory be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Brothers, know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Therefore, listen to this Old Testament reading from the book of Joshua, chapter 16 through chapter 18. This is the word of the Lord that is eternally true and applicable for all of life. Then the lot for the sons of Joseph went from the Jordan at Jericho to the waters of Jericho on the east into the wilderness, going up from Jericho through the hill country to Bethel. It went from Bethel to Luz and continued to the borders of the Arkites at Ataroth. It went down westward to the territory of the Jephthahites, as far as the territory of lower Beth Horon, even the Gezer. It ended at the sea. The sons of Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim received their inheritance. Now, this was the territory of the sons of Ephraim according to their families. The border of their inheritance eastward was Ataroth Adar, as far as upper Beth Horon. Then the border went westward at Michmemeth on the north, and the border turned about eastward to Tanalath Shelah, and continued beyond it to the east of Genoa. It went down from Genoa to Ataroth and to Nerah, then reached Jericho and came out at the Jordan. From Tupoah, the border continued westward to the brook of Cana, and it ended at the sea. This is the inheritance of the tribes of the sons of Ephraim, according to their families, together with the cities which were set apart for the sons of Ephraim in the midst of the inheritance of the sons of Manasseh, all the cities with their villages. But they did not drive out the Canaanites who lived in Gezer. So the Canaanites lived in the midst of Ephraim to this day, and they became forced laborers. Now, this was the lot for the tribe of Manasseh, for he was the firstborn of Joseph. To Maker, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, were allotted Gilead and Bashan, because he was a man of war. So the lot was made for the rest of the sons of Manasseh, according to their families, for the sons of Abazar, and for the sons of Helak, and for the sons of Asriel, and for the sons of Shechem, and for the sons of Hepher, and for the sons of Shemida. These were the male descendants of Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, according to their families. However, Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, only daughters. And these are the names of his daughters, Mahla and Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. They came near before Eleazar the priest and before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the leaders, saying, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brothers." So, according to the command of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among their father's brothers. Thus there fell 10 portions to Manasseh, besides the land of Gilead and Bashan, which is beyond the Jordan, because the daughters of Manasseh received an inheritance among his sons, and the land of Gilead belonged to the rest of the sons of Manasseh. The border of Manasseh ran from Asher to Michmemeth, which was east of Shechem. Then the border went southward to the inhabitants of Entupah. The land of Tupah belonged to Manasseh, but Tupah on the border of Manasseh belonged to the sons of Ephraim. The border went down to the brook of Cana, southward of the brook. These cities belonged to Ephraim among the cities of Manasseh. And the border of Manasseh was on the north side of the brook, and it ended at the sea. The south side belonged to Ephraim, and the north side to Manasseh, and the sea was their border. And they reached to Asher on the north, and to Issachar on the east. In Issachar and in Asher, Manasseh had Beth Shean and its towns, and Ibleam and its towns, and the inhabitants of Dor and its towns, and the inhabitants of Endor and its towns, and the inhabitants of Taanach and its towns, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and its towns. The third is Napheth. But the sons of Manasseh could not take possession of these cities, because the Canaanites persisted in living in that land. It came about when the sons of Israel became strong, they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but they did not drive them out completely. Then the sons of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, "Why have you given me only one lot and one portion for an inheritance, since I am numerous people whom the Lord has thus far blessed?" Joshua said to them, "If you are a numerous people, go up to the forest and clear a place for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the Rephaim, since the hill country of Ephraim is too narrow for you." The sons of Joshua said, "The hill country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who live in the valley land have chariots of iron, both those who are in Beth Shean and its towns, and those who are in the valley of Jezreel." Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, "You are a numerous people and have great power. You shall not have only one lot only, but the hill country shall be yours. For though it is a forest, you shall clear it. And to its furthest borders it shall be yours, for you shall drive out the Canaanites, even though they have chariots of iron and though they are strong." Then the whole congregation of the sons of Israel assembled themselves at Shiloh and set up a tent of meeting there, and the land was subdued before them. There remained among the sons of Israel 7 tribes who had not divided their inheritance. So Joshua said to the sons of Israel, "How long will you put off entering to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? Provide for yourselves 3 men from each tribe that I may send them, that they may arise and walk through the land and write a description of it according to their inheritance. Then they shall return to me. They shall divide it into 7 portions. Judah shall stay in its territory on the south, and the house of Joseph shall stay in their territory on the north. You shall describe the land in 7 divisions and bring the description here to me. I will cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. For the Levites have no portion among you, because the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh also have received their inheritance eastward beyond the Jordan, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. Then the men arose and went, and Joshua commanded those who went to describe the land, saying, Go and walk through the land and describe it and return to me. Then I will cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh. So the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities and 7 divisions in a book. And they came to Joshua to the camp at Shiloh. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land to the sons of Israel according to their divisions. Now the lot of the tribes of the sons of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the territory of their lot lay between the sons of Judah and the sons of Joseph. Their border on the north side was from the Jordan. Then the border went up to the side of Jericho on the north, and went up through the hill country westward, and it ended at the wilderness of Beth-Aven. From there the border continued to Luz, to the side of Luz, that is Bethel, southward. And the border went down to Adaroth-Adar, near the hill which lies on the south of lower Beth-Horon. The border extended from there and turns around on the west side southward, from the hill which lies before Beth-Horon southward. And it ended at Kiriath-Baal, that is Kiriath-Jearim, a city of the sons of Judah. This was the west side. Then the south side was from the edge of Kiriath-Jearim, and the border went westward and went to the fountain of the waters of Nephtoah. The border went down to the edge of the hill, which is in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, which is in the valley of Rephaim northward. And it went down to the valley of Hinnom, to the slope of the Jebusite southward, and went down to En-Rogel. It extended northward and went to En-Shemesh, and went to Gilioth, which is opposite the ascent of Adumim. And it went down to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben. It continued to the side in front of the Arabah northward, and went down to the Arabah. The border continued to the side of Beth-Hogla northward, and the border ended at the north bay of the Salt Sea, at the south end of the Jordan. This was the south border. Moreover, the Jordan was its border on the east side. This was the inheritance of the sons of Benjamin, according to their families and according to its borders all around. Now, the cities of the tribe of the sons of Benjamin, according to their families, were Jericho, and Beth-Hogla, and Emek-Kezes, and Beth-Arabah, and Zemaraim, and Bethel, and Avim, and Perah, and Ophra, and Chepher, Amani, and Ophni, and Geba, 12 cities with their villages, Gibeon and Ramah, and Beeroth, and Mezpah, and Chephirah, and Mazah, and Rechem, and Irpil, and Taralah, and Zelah, Haleph, and Jebusite, that is, Jerusalem, Gibeah, Kiriath, 14 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the sons of Benjamin, according to their families. This is the word of the Lord, and we give thanks to God. O God, make speed to save us. Shine in our hearts, O Master, who loves mankind, the pure light of your divine knowledge, and open the eyes of our mind, that we may comprehend the proclamation of your Gospels. Therefore, listen to this New Testament reading from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 48. This is the word of the Lord. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. After he had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he approached Bethpage and Bethany, near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent 2 of the disciples, saying, Go into the village ahead of you. There, as you enter, you'll find a colt tied on which no one had yet ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, you shall say, The Lord has need of it. So those who were sent away and found it just as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, Why are you untying the colt? They said, The Lord has need of it. They brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. As soon as he was approaching, Near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out." When he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side, and they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling, saying to them, "It is written, 'And my house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made a robber's den." And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the leading men among the people were trying to destroy him, and they could not find anything that they might do, for all the people were hanging on to every word he said. This is the word of the Lord, and we give thanks to God as we profess that we believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Therefore, listen to this reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, verses 21 through 29. This is the word of the Lord. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. What is desirable in a man is his kindness, and it's better to be a poor man than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but will not even bring it back to his mouth. Strike a scoffer, and the naive may become shrewd, but reprove one who has understanding, and he will gain knowledge. He who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shame and a disgraceful son. Cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. A rascally witness makes a mockery of justice, and the mouth of the wicked spreads iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scoffers, and blows for the back of fools. This is the word of the Lord, and we give thanks to God. Let us pray. Lord, we make our plans, and if anything, we've learned over the last few months that you are the one to guide the steps, and it's only your counsel that will stand. So we may have many plans, and yet you've shown us that you can change them. Lord, help us to rely and trust on you, to trust your sovereign hand, that in your hidden decree, that you've not revealed how things will happen to us in the day-to-day, we can still trust you, knowing that every moment of every day, you are working for our good, that you are a just and holy God. And so, Lord, let us have that fear that leads to life, so that we may even sleep well today, untouched by evil. Lord, protect us from laziness, from scoffing. Protect us from being unwise, shameful. Help us to honor our fathers and our mothers. Lord, we pray for our nation, that you would bring repentance to it. Lord, would you bring us repentance from following after false gospels, a false religion of social justice and how that sets up the sin that we can never be atoned for. But Lord, you have made a way for our sins to be forgiven, whether we've had hatred in our hearts towards others, where we have failed to honor you. Lord, we thank you that you forgive us. So help us to live faithfully to where you have called us. God, you have given each of us different talents and skills. You've placed us in different areas of the country, different areas of life, different times in life. Some of us young, some of us old. You've given us different sexes, some of us men, some of us women. God, you've even given us different ethnicities, families, family groups and nations. So, Lord, help us to be faithful where you have planted us and all the ways that you've assigned to us in our life. Let us live that out, glorifying you and loving others. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, brothers, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, and he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You've been listening to The Daily Sword by Sovereign King Church. We pray this has been a blessing to you. Visit www.sovereignkingchurch.com for more.